dun, 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 dun. Yeah, no, no, you know, we're coming in hot, Lucas. It's Monday. How you doing?
It's a Monday, Evan, and I'm doing well, man. How are you? Welcome to Dueling Tangents, everyone. That's right. I got Evan on the board helping me out. I want to thank you, Evan, for you and Will filling in on Friday as we were, Brian and I, taking care of some very, very important work here around the station. We are doing some changes, making improvements.
Great time with Will, man. It's always fun.
Good.
It's always fun.
Glad to hear it, man. And it is a happy Monday afternoon to folks out there in the listening audience. You are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, coming to you on the airwaves across the state of Wisconsin on Civic Media here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. You may also be listening in places like Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. In Richland Center on Radio From the Center, WRCE 1450 AM 107.7 FM, traversing across the state to Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Supports, that's 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM, as well as in Amory, Wisconsin on Lake Air, WXCE 1260 AM, in Wisconsin Rapids on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. If you want to join the show at any time, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. Got Evan on the board helping me out on this Monday afternoon because, you know, I didn't dress up for Halloween, but had Brian and I been together on the airwaves this afternoon, I think we would have done a great duo as Batman and Robin. Me, of course, being the Robin to his Batman, but Batman is taking a little breather from all the Herculean efforts that he put forth for the changes we were making over the weekend to the station. So you're going to hear us loud and new and improved in some areas across the Civic Media Network. If you want to join the show, like I said, phone number to call or text 844-967-2789. And we're going to dive into a couple of Wisconsin headlines here, but later in the hour, the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. The WDC has a new report out talking about how outside spending has hit record highs here in the state of Wisconsin with an election that is 7 days away with 8 days left to vote. Kristen Bry, if you're listening, I give you that perfect disclaimer so we've got all of the nuances taken away. Election day is 7 days away, and you've got 8 days left to vote, folks. Early voting is underway across the state of Wisconsin. Some municipalities, it ends this Friday. In other municipalities, it ends on Saturday. So if you want to learn more about your options to participate, your vote, your ability to vote, and vote in-person absentee before Election Day, you can go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more. You can make sure and check your registration status at the website, and you can check your polling place and see where you can vote early between now and Election Day, or where your polling place is on Election Day. And so, over the weekend, Civic Media had a lot of excellent programming to offer, including special event coverage of former President Barack Obama in Milwaukee with a rally at North Division High School. It was broadcast across these airwaves. If you want to go check out the special event coverage, you can go to civicmedia.us. We've got a podcast to go with all of the excellent speeches, including the former president's, that took place on Saturday evening. And it was pretty motivating, Evan. Did you were on the board, I believe.
That's correct. Yeah. Tag team in with Calvin. Very, very nice young man.
Yeah.
But no, the Dems have been smashing it out of the park. You know, I'm talking actually inspiring, energetic addresses, you know. It's been I'm only half sort of joke in there, but it's just really nice to see them getting the energy up.
Yes, and outside of the behind the scenes work that Brian that I was assisting Brian with this over the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I tuned out of the politics for a little bit because I was taking advantage of the full beautiful weather that we have here in southern Wisconsin and got a ton of work done around the house, and so I was catching up on the speeches this morning. And I did not get to get through all of them, but I got through the entirety of the former president, Barack Obama's speech, and it was pretty motivating. But he had some direct, precise attacks of both Republican Senator Ron Johnson and Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels and the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature. It was a full 53-minute speech, I believe, in its entirety. And I don't believe there is a better closing message than the points outlined by former President Obama in Saturday's speech. And so, folks, if you haven't got a chance to listen to it yet, I would absolutely recommend going and giving it a listen, because it is exactly what needs to be heard with Election Day 7 days away and 8 days left to participate in democracy. One of the key takeaways, don't boo, vote. He brought back that tagline that he has used in the past for previous GOTV campaigns. Another takeaway, take your friends to vote. Make sure that the people in your lives are making plans to participate and be voters in this election. Again, that we are 7 days away, 8 days left to vote. Myvote.wi.gov. You can learn where you can vote, who's on your ballot, how you can participate between now and Election Day, because you don't have to wait till Election Day. And there is only so much time left. And there's a lot on the line for this election. And so that was the rhetoric coming out of the Democratic side of this November's midterm elections. A very, very rousing speech by the former president, Barack Obama, to encourage individuals to participate in democracy. And last Friday, early in the morning, news broke that a individual broke into the San Francisco residence of the Speaker of the House. She was not home, Nancy Pelosi. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was in Washington, D.C. She was not there. Her husband, Paul Pelosi, was. And over the weekend, the conservative right-wing media ecosystem tried to wash their hands free of what I believe are the ramifications of the violent rhetoric that the right-wing media ecosystem puts out into radio airwaves, cable news, television, social media platforms, so many different ways they disperse the violent rhetoric. Campaign stump speeches. The former president, now speaking of a different former President Trump, at his rally at now the infamous day, January 6th at the Ellipse, said, "You have to fight to take your country back." Violent rhetoric is throughout the entire Republican talking points, the stump speeches, everything that they put out there hints at or gins up violence. So it's unfortunately not shocking news when that violence bubbles up. And last Friday's incident with a individual whose social media is riddled with QAnon conspiracy theories, Republican elected officials, they're retweeting Republican elected officials, sharing the same talking points that Tucker Carlson puts out on Fox News every night. The violent rhetoric leads to violent actions. And over the weekend, the right-wing conservative ecosystem, media ecosystem, decided to try to whitewash this rhetoric away from the attack that took place in San Francisco early Friday morning. And so I think it's very important to be able to discuss the dueling narratives,
if you will.
Dueling. I like, anytime I see it now in the headlines, Evan, I always get a chuckle and I'm kind of like, do they listen? When local Wisconsin reporters are, you know, using dueling a little bit more.
A little wink,
I'm having a feeling, but Brian and I talk about it every now and then. Just be like, oh, it's interesting that the dueling X works its way in there. But the dueling narratives between now and Election Day is a party of, it's important to go and participate in the democratic process because this is what's on the line. You can go up and down that list. Like I said, if you did not get a chance to listen to former President Barack Obama's speech in Milwaukee on Saturday evening, you can go to civicmedia.us, special event coverage. You can listen to the whole thing there. And it puts into context what is on the line this November 8th. And the alternative, the narrative being put out by the conservative right-wing echo chamber is, oh, no. Our violent rhetoric doesn't create the violence that you see, like in San Francisco, with the Speaker of the House's residence being broken into and her husband being violently assaulted with a hammer to the point where he is still in ICU care. Doctors say that he will make a full recovery, but that is underway. And the right wing wants you to believe that those are two things are not correlated. That the rhetoric that they use isn't what is leading to more and more cases of this political violence. The chairwoman of the Republican Party said over the weekend that they were completely unrelated. Yet she was the one that said January 6th was justified political discourse. It was part of acceptable political discourse. And those are the dueling narratives between now and November 8th, folks. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the show, 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Excuse me. Coming up at the bottom of the hour. But the right isn't happy here in Wisconsin about some of the critique that a flat tax proposal is getting now that it's been looked at a little closer. We're going to get into that more and more in this next break. 844-967-2789.
Don't boo. Vote.
Downplayed vaccines. He has downplayed the legality of the 2020 election, suggesting that there was malfeasance there and that people need to do something about it. They need to look into it. All ambiguities, all hearsay, but promoted nonetheless. And then his campaign puts out talking points that suggest the current lieutenant governor, Mandela Barnes, here in Wisconsin, the state's first black lieutenant governor, is the reason it's his own reckless spending, is essentially what Senator Johnson's campaign wants you to believe, on the increased security costs that the lieutenant governor has incurred because of the violent political rhetoric that people like Senator Ron Johnson are espousing. Ron Johnson wants you to believe that the fact that the Wisconsin State Troopers have to spend more time protecting and securing our lieutenant governor is the lieutenant governor's fault. It is absolutely gaslighting. And it's a perfect tangent into the Tim Michaels story as well. Because now you've got an op-ed over at Forbes from some of the right wing, it was Free Beacon, Americans for Tax, some individual wrote up an op-ed at Forbes, saying that it's unfair to criticize the flat tax proposal that was getting looked at by about two and a half dozen economists around the country, professors at Milwaukee Area Technical College and other places here in Wisconsin, as well as states around the country, including Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Illinois, I believe. And they're upset that Tim Michaels would be tied to this really terrible policy proposal. Like, a flat tax would have incredibly bad ramifications for the state of Wisconsin. And the problem is that we don't know where Tim Michaels stands on it because he doesn't give an actual tax plan. He's said that he's open to a flat tax, and that's about it. It's been an ambiguity. He says that he's going to get with the real smart tax people, and he'll figure something out. But that's not a plan. So the fact that he said that he was open to a flat tax suggests that maybe that's something that the state should look into to be able to give analysis of what a flat tax would mean. No specifics, not tying it specifically to Tim Michaels, because again, it's a campaign of platitudes. It's an empty suit.
I'll happily work to explain what a flat tax would do to obliterate Wisconsin's economy. Happy to help.
Yeah, I think that if the candidate suggests that he's open to it, it's not terrible to go and analyze what that would mean for the state of Wisconsin. But the right-wing echo chamber is upset that you would tie Tim Michaels' campaign to such a disastrous policy proposal. Folks, it is a Monday.
It certainly is.
It is certainly a Monday. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. 844-967-2789 is the phone line. If you want to give us a call, send us a text to join the conversation. But it is absolutely gaslighting 101 that the right-wing ecosystem believes that it's unfair to analyze what a flat tax would mean for the state of Wisconsin and then pretend like either Michaels wasn't open to it or that's not his policy proposal, because we don't have any policy proposals from the campaign. He is running ads in trucks and walking around shaking people's hands and dodging sinks, but he's got no policy proposals, because if he did, he could be criticized for them. And so he's been very, very careful to live in the ambiguity of no concrete policy positions. It's why he's flip-flopped on so many issues, including abortion and many more here in the state of Wisconsin. He's airdropped in from Connecticut and is upset now though the right-wing things like Free Beacon, American Taxpayers for Reform, all those right-wing groups are upset that you would tie the Republican candidate for governor to a position he said he'd be open to. We got Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign coming up next. We're going to try to get to the phone lines as well. 844-967-2789. I see you there on hold. We'll sit tight. We'll get to you as soon as we can. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Happy Halloween, everyone. I didn't even mention that at the top of the hour. It is October 31st. And so we've got 7 days until Election Day, 8 days left to vote. If you want to be a participant in this year's election, go to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about how you can participate in the wonderful experiment of democracy that we do as a nation. Every 2 years, it's even more frequent than that, though, when you count all the local elections. So as often as you can, be a voter every single time. Go to myvote.wi.gov to see how you can participate over the next 8 days in our democracy. And we are joined now by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Matt, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Luke. For Halloween, I should have got my Batman costume on for you, but I didn't get around to it. But here I am.
See, it would have been conflicting, though, because had Brian and I been on the air, I would be Robin to Brian's Batman, and then if you came in as Batman, I think I would just be too confused.
It would have been the sequel, so there you go.
There we go. But welcome. How are you doing with the 8 days left that we have until Election Day?
Well, I think like most people in Wisconsin, we can't wait till this is over with all the ugly ads that have been splattering mud all over our screens for months now. Mm-hmm. And the really despicable racist ads against Mandela Barnes that I kind of knew were coming, but still a level of shock that they go that low so often.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to next week. I hope there's a huge turnout here in Wisconsin. We used to be number one or number two behind Minnesota in turnout, and we slipped a little bit, but I think we're going to get a real high turnout this coming week, and I think Dane County is going to be huge, and I think Milwaukee County is going to be huge.
Yeah, Colorado Governor Jared Polis, I believe, is gunning for that number two spot, or number one. I think they jumped into two ahead of Wisconsin when it comes to voter turnout. So I hope we can get back into that two spot, if not higher with this election. But you have a very interesting piece out over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, aptly named for this Halloween holiday, Outside Spending Hits Horrifying New High.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that. That was one of my colleagues.
All right.
It's Halloween. Let's get a Halloween pun in there. So look at the old record for outside spending for races in Wisconsin, not counting Senate or Congress, just our state wide offices here, used to be $36 million from these outside groups that are paying for a lot of these ads we're talking about. The new record right now as of today is $52 million. So it's almost shattered the record by 50% already.
Wow.
And we got 1 week to
go. I was saying, we still got a lot of time left for those ads to continue to hit the airwaves.
You know they're going to be buying ads this last week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the Republican groups, surprise, surprise, are outspending the Democratic groups here by more than 3-1. You've got the Republican Governors Association having two of its arms, both of its arms, spending more than $13 million. You got the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, spending $6 million. So that's about half the GOP outside spending right then and there.
Between those two groups, or three groups.
Yeah, two groups, really, because there's two PACs from the Republican Governors Association.
Gotcha.
I combined those into one, and then you've got the Koch family still trying to tell us what to do here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and so it's kind of hard to make sense of everything right now with where we're gonna land next Tuesday, because again, like, there's dueling narratives from the media ecosystem. So former President Barack Obama telling everybody what's on the line, telling people to be participants in democracy. And then you hear over the weekend just the downplaying of political violence that is the result, in my opinion, of the political rhetoric that has been out there on the right wing.
Right, and you're absolutely right. I was listening to the first half hour of the show when I was driving in, and you're absolutely right to denounce this horrible attack on Paul Pelosi, which was designed to be an attack on Nancy Pelosi.
Had Nancy been home, I fear the worst.
Second in line to be president of the United States.
Yes.
And like you, I was horrified, but I wasn't shocked. I mean, when you hear the level of hysterical right-wing demonization that's out there about Nancy Pelosi, it isn't a surprise. We heard people on January 6th, where is Nancy? Come on out, Nancy. Mm-hmm. We're coming for you, Nancy. And then what happened when the attack happened? There, Roger Stone and some folks on the Steve Bannon chat and other people on the far right are denying that the attack actually happened or that it was a right-wing politically motivated attack.
Donald Trump Jr. have teased on social media a potential Halloween costume out there of an individual in their underwear and a hammer, saying that he was going as Paul Pelosi for Halloween, which is disgusting.
You can't get lower than these guys.
You
cannot. Just can't. I mean, Elon Musk, tweeted that maybe there was something.
There was more to the story. And then deleted that tweet. And then now his supporters on Twitter are saying, Elon's been muffled or muted by the cancel culture. And it's like, he deleted the tweet himself.
By himself.
He deleted the tweet. But outside of that narrative,
I just wasn't surprised, though. And I've been worried for a long time now that something was going to happen to Nancy Pelosi, or something was going to happen to AOC, or something might even happen to Biden himself.
But there's two sides of this coin here, too, because after the Dobbs decision and the leaked Dobbs decision came out, there was a rush because individuals were protesting outside of Supreme Court justices' homes, and Congress moved immediately to secure better situation for those Supreme Court justices. They passed a law that said you can't protest within X number of feet from the House. There was immediate action. There is no such immediate action taking place now that, like you said, the second in the line of succession, their home was broken into and their spouse was assaulted. And the right cannot get together with the left and say, that's not acceptable. We need to have action.
I mean, there's got to be more Secret Service protection for everyone in Congress, especially people in leadership. I mean, this is another outrageous assault on our democracy that members of the far right who, you know, have a lot of blood on their hands are now trying to, you know, wash away and either make fun of it like Don Jr. Mm-hmm. or deny that it actually happened. You know, this is grotesque. Our politics is going down the tubes. Obama, when he was in Milwaukee, was being heckled by someone and said, this is the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no respect for common courtesy anymore. There's no respect for guardrails of our democracy and how things are supposed to function. It's just demonization. Be as rude as you possibly can. Make the other side out to be the total enemy. You know, it's hard to have a functioning democracy that way.
Yeah. It absolutely is. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. Let's head over to those phone lines now, Matt. We got Joe here in Madison calling in. Joe, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm going to tackle this flat tax item that poor Mr. Michaels is so upset that he might be tied to. Part of the reason he might be tied to it is because he said he was interested in it. He's open to it,
yeah.
Okay? And this flat tax, one of the economists who called into Matt's show from UWM, retired economist, said that the play on that is if it goes through, you're looking in our state, and 96% of the population is going to they're going to take a bite. Their taxes are going to increase, while 4% are going to be doing just swell. They're including, of course, this man, Mr. Michaels, they're going to be doing just swell. And a part of the problem is he's, you know, all upset that people are tying into the flat tax. Well, Evers has a plan. He submitted a tax plan of a 15% cut for the middle class that comes out of the state, $5 billion that's left, that's just sitting there and still
surplus of the general fund.
Exactly. Why aren't we spending that? Why aren't we using that to better our state for rural broadband, for roads, whatever, from the moribund state legislature, which the Republicans control and which has been on vacation for the last, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months? I mean, they never show up. They get a salary and they never show up. The Republicans, they're just not doing their homework. So if Mr. Michaels had a tax plan of his own, we could talk about it. We could, you know, look at it and analyze it. But the guy is coming in to be our governor, and he hasn't done his homework. He hasn't submitted anything that would indicate what he wants to do. He's going to, quote, as you said, get some smart people together and come up with a plan. Oh, fabulous. What smart people? When? What plan? We're supposed to be voting on something, not
right.
Something that he hasn't bothered to do his homework for. It's embarrassing, you know, that this is what we have for a candidate, a guy who won't even do the homework. I mean, you have to do homework for your job. Most people have to go to the job prepared. How come he isn't prepared? Sorry, getting a little irate here. Sorry.
No, Joe, nothing to apologize for. We appreciate the phone call. And it's absolutely a fair point to put out there. It is... The write-ups from these economists and the coverage of a tax plan and what it would mean for the state of Wisconsin, I don't think has ever been directly linked to the Michaels campaign. I don't think anybody reporting on this issue has said directly that this is what Tim Michaels would do if governor. A lot of the reporting had the ambiguity that the campaign itself seems to enjoy, because if it wanted to remove the ambiguity, Matt, they would come out with a concrete proposal, but they haven't done that.
No, they don't want to do that. They don't want to show their math. They don't want to show their work because they'll get tagged out. And I love when Jo calls. She's one of the best callers
yeah.
to the station. So whenever she calls, it's such a thoughtful bit of wisdom that she imparts to us all. The funny thing about, or not so funny thing about, this whole tax discussion is the fact that there isn't a lot of recognition that our taxes, income taxes in Wisconsin, are pretty flat already. There's not a huge discrepancy between the highest amount.
4.5% in total.
And the lowest rate. And another thing that isn't discussed is the fact that Wisconsin abolished the inheritance tax. during the Walker administration, I believe. It's been a long time since we've had an inheritance tax on the books, but this was a progressive era reform that should be reinstated at some level. I'm not saying people should lose their family farm and not be able to give it to their sons and daughters, but if you've got over X amount and you choose X, $100 million, don't you think you should be taxed on everything over $100 million or everything over $50 million? Come on now.
Yeah,
there's
it's all
no
about-
reason we shouldn't be taxing huge estates. You know, their kids are going to be fine. Really, they are.
It's all about where you draw the line and who's drawing the line. And there's absolutely a discussion to be had. And as Joe pointed out, it's very hard to have that discussion when the Republican legislature calls it quits in the first week of March and then sits on a $5 billion surplus.
Yeah, they're not doing their job. And Governor Evers wanted to give taxpayers in Wisconsin a rebate on the taxes out of that surplus, which is usually a Republican thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, Walker, if he had a surplus like that, Walker would have been writing checks left and right.
In 2018, when he was running for re-election, for his third term, or for a third term, Walker did the same exact thing. There was a surplus in the state government, much smaller, as a reminder. But Walker did send out a rebate.
Yeah, I mean, this
tax
is
rebate
just shows the total hollowness of the Republican Party. That, you know, a traditional Republican proposal to do when you have a surplus, yeah, they're against just because there's a Democrat in the governor's chair.
Yep. Let's try to squeeze in one more caller here before this next break. We got David and Mequon calling in. David, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Really quickly, I wholeheartedly agree with you with the security for Congress. I think it's outrageous that, you know, basically that was a botched murder is what happened over the weekend. And just fortunate that she was not home, because I'm sure she would have been killed had she been home. That being said, I just want to talk about with the tax situation. I think Michael's really, it's surprising to me because there are quite a few states that have a flat tax. Our neighbors to the south have a flat tax. It's 4.95%. Pennsylvania is the lowest of the flat tax states. It's just a little over 3-something percent. Massachusetts has got 5% flat tax. I think what he should do, if I were him, is that you have an exemption so that the people are not making a lot of money. You put a level maybe like $30,000. You're not going to pay any income tax, okay?
If he's a serious candidate, David, running for governor, I think he would do something like that. But he's not standing by any of these policy proposals. He's running on platitudes and ambiguities, and that's what he's running on. Because if he actually had to take a stance, it would get criticized. And so this is the closest thing to a stance, and it got analyzed by economists, and now the right wing is upset because, hey, that's not his proposal specifically. Well, where is his specific proposal? We would love to take a look at it, but we don't know. He wants to run in the shadows and not be open with Wisconsinites about what he would do as governor. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. We are joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789.
Every year, he's called Social Security a Ponzi scheme. Said that it's candy that the left has given away. The point is, some of you here are on Social Security. Some of your parents are on Social Security. Some of your grandparents are on Social Security. You know why they have Social Security? Because they worked for it. They worked hard jobs for it. They have chapped hands for it. They had long hours and sore backs and bad knees to get that Social Security. And if Ron Johnson does not understand that, if he understands giving tax breaks for private planes more than he understands making sure that seniors who've worked all their lives are able to retire with dignity and respect, He's not the person who's thinking about you and knows you and sees you, and he should not be your senator from Wisconsin.
Now, Matt, I, from time to time, get some of that same righteous anger, specifically here on this show. And I don't know if I've heard anybody put it as succinctly as that.
Obama really brought the heat, didn't he?
Yeah.
We really laid the hammer down, and I think this is the issue. If Ron Johnson loses, if Mandela wins, this is the issue, even more than the abortion issue. This is the issue in the closing days that's going to make the difference.
And it is a very important issue, as Obama pointed out. Some of the people in that room were on Social Security. Some of their parents were on Social Security. Some of their grandparents. This is an issue that affects everybody. Abortion is huge. Social Security is huge. And I think there is one party that's fighting for the right to both of those issues.
Yeah, these are the two issues the election hinges on right now.
Yeah, and on both of those issues, we're going to hear a lot more about them between now and November 8th. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We're going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area tomorrow on Tuesday. We will talk to you then. Happy Halloween, everyone. Enjoy the trick-or-treating. We'll see you tomorrow.